The home of Victoria's Spring Racing Carnival, RSN 927.
From Victoria's racing heartland, this is the only program dedicated to Victorian country racing. Welcome to the Country Racing Show. It's got it all.
I can feel this day, I can see this day, it's got it all.
Hello and welcome to the Country Racing Show, where we pay tribute to the heart and soul of the racing industry, and that is the lifeblood, the country racing in this great state. And when we speak of country racing, what a fabulous week we have had, and what another fabulous weekend we have to look forward to. We're going to review a huge week of country racing. In the middle of the Spring Carnival, it is Country Cup time, and we get to see another Country Cup this weekend as well. And we couldn't do it without our great friend Connor Ryan. How are you, Connor?
Yeah, feeling very good. Thanks, Michael. Obviously flying solo this week. We're missing the count of country racing himself, Darren Galley.
We have warned him. He was on probation. We said if you cannot come up with a big V winner, you get dropped to the reserve. So, unfortunately, Darren is spending a week on the sidelines. He needs to do a bit more homework and a bit more revision. And if he can tip a winner, he can come back.
Yeah, we've shed some dead weight. So this week's show might actually be a winner.
Well, poor old Dazza, the big V. But no, he is working very hard, Dazza. We will look forward to having him back next week on the Country Racing Show. Gee whiz, how good have the past 7 days been for country racing in this state?
It's honestly hard to believe that the Mertua Cup was less than a week ago, because it's just been absolutely jam-packed with action. We had 3 cups over the weekend. Looking ahead to this weekend, there's a couple more coming up. One of our first majors for the season at Cranbourne. Heaps of prize money during the week. A lot of fun at Ballarat on Thursday with the Hotham, and another heat of the Melbourne Cup Country Series. So it's just been action galore.
I can't wait to look ahead to Pinka Pinka Night and also the Cranbourne Cup on Sunday. And it's great to be spinning a yarn with Greg Urell today, because it's his hometown cup. And the Pinka Pinka, obviously named after his great mare who won the Cox Plate, is very close to his heart. And he wants to win it.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, racing's a game of highs and lows, and Greg experienced those in pretty quick succession with Pinka Pinka winning the Cox Plate, and then unfortunately, that terrible accident where she passed away, I think it was only 6 months later. Mm. So he's got a runner in the Pinka Pinka Plate tonight, which is fantastic, and hopefully she'll go well. Felica, is it?
That's it.
So it'd be a really nice story to see him win that race named after his champion mare.
And let's not forget about the Apache Cat, another race named after one of his stars as well. So that's all coming up a little later in the Country Racing Show. But you mentioned the Country Cups last week, and we kicked off with the Mertua Cup on Saturday. And for those of you who didn't listen to the Country Racing Show, you'll be kicking yourself because your wallet's a little thinner. Archie Alexander gave us his best bet of the day, Thanos, which just won like a good thing. And he also said that Survived was going to be very hard to beat.
Survive straightened up in front, but Patch Adams is there to challenge. Great Lane runs on a length away. House of Stars and Kawaya right down the outside. Survive joined by Patch Adams, 100 to go. Kawaya steaming home at the end. It Survived from Patch Adams from Kawaya. Survived is kicking back hard. Survived won it. Survived by a half length to Patch Adams and Kawaya third.
It was a nice, gutsy, tough run, and that was Daz's big V just labouring into third there, Kawaya as well. But what a big win that was for Survived and the whole team.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a good day for Archie. I mean, he was on the show last week and he told us that he was very confident about Thanos, and it won like a good thing, as you said. So one for the listeners there. And Survived, obviously being a two-time Mount Gambier Cup winner, was always going to be good enough to win this race. But the question was his fitness and form, and stepping back from the 2400 appeared to suit him. And as you say, I think Archie's he's good with his stays. They get very, very tough and very fit, and he just stayed too well for them.
Gee, the owners have got a lovely looking mantelpiece, don't they?
Yeah, you think so, wouldn't they? Just trophy after trophy after trophy. I think that's part of the appeal of the Country Cups, is you get some nice silverware to decorate the home.
And it was a very popular day for the club as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a terrific day for the club, actually, for Mertua. It was part of the big weekend in Mertua. Is the biggest show in town there every year, and there was plenty of action in the main street. It was a bit of a carnival atmosphere, but the Racer Club are very happy with the Cup Day itself. They had a great crowd through the doors. Nice weather always helps, obviously, and also the first heat of the Melbourne Cup Carnival Country Series on. So Doug Whitworth got that the win there with I Am The Dark, thanks to a cheeky ride from Jess Eaton, and booked himself a date on Oaks Day at Flemington. So,
how big is that for the stable and connections?
It's a terrific reward, and it's a great initiative that they've put on. And that race on Oaks Day is worth a lazy 250K. It's great to see, country racing, country trainers, country horses, country owners are getting a chance to shine on the biggest stage of all.
And on Saturday, we also had one of the most famous country cups in the state, the Gunbower Cup.
Yep, as I said last week, Michael, they were absolutely frothing for it up there at Gunbower. They had a couple of years of bad weather and not being able to run the cup at all last year, which is obviously a massive disappointment. So just getting on was a start, but it looked like a terrific day up there, and it was a good day for Mixell.
Severn Road kicks on, but Not To Know's got him. The outside, Penny To Sell. Up behind them went Undercover Poet. Front runner, Not To Know. Out after it, though, Penny To Sell. Don't sell Penny. He's home. He's won the Gunbower Cup by two lengths, Not To Know.
Oh, and a call befitting of the Gunbower Cup. That's outstanding. And Chris Nicol, as you said, getting home for Penny To Sell for Mixell. So, no doubt the party continued for quite some time.
Yeah, absolutely. And as we always say with Rick McIntosh, you could make the Gunbower Maiden sound like the Melbourne Cup. So good to add a bit of theatre to it. And it was a good finish too. And Mixell has won more than his share of country cups in the last couple of years. So good to see him back on track with Penny To Sell.
Jack Styring would have been proud.
I think he would have been, yeah. Might have had a little different spin on it.
Might have been slightly different.
I'm sure he would have enjoyed the enthusiasm nonetheless.
And then on Sunday, we moved to the Bairnsdale Cup. And it was a bittersweet day for the club. It was really shocking luck for the connections of Minnie Downs, who has been such a great mare over her career. But unfortunately, she broke down and had to be euthanized.
Yeah, absolutely. Just one of those freak accidents that happened, unfortunately, Michael. She was just on her way to the barriers. I think she took a wrong turn and that was it. Broke a hind leg and it was diagnosed as irreparable, which was terrible news for the trainer and for all the connections. And she was a great Country Cups horse. She two Swan Hill Cups, a Wodonga Cup and an Echuca Cup.
That's remarkable.
That's a fantastic resume. So really sad news for her connections. And the cup race itself was delayed for about 15 minutes, I think, while that was attended to. And after that lengthy delay, Pemberley showed his class, came out and put in a nice staying performance.
As they come into the straight in the cup, Albertino by a length on Pemberley is out after him and is bridging the margin. 2.5 lengths to By The Grace, then Stormy Shore. Pemberley reached the front of the cup. Pemberley kicked in, put a length and a half on Albertino. By The Grace dodging bullets. Pemberley's cup. Pemberley wins by 1.75 on By The Grace.
It was a nice win, wasn't it? Linda Meach riding for Aaron Purcell, taking over from Kieran Maher. His first feature win, taking over as the new head trainer.
Yeah, I imagine Aaron will have a bit more success through the spring given the stock at his disposal now. But, I mean, if you've got a good horse in the Country Cup and Linda Meach on board, you wouldn't have any worries about what's going to happen once they jump, because she's a pro, she knows how to win a Country Cup, and it was a really nice ride on Pemberley to take the chocolates there.
Yeah, they were great cup meetings. Also a meeting at Seymour over the weekend, and we had a first there.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're racing at Seymour on Sunday, and young T.O. Nugent got his first career win, which is fantastic to see. It was only his fourth ever ride. So,
wow.
He's clearly got some talent. They don't get on that young unless they know what they're doing. So it was a win on Aaron Purcell's Columbia.
Well done to T.O. Look forward to seeing T.O. a lot more in the form guide. At Monday was a bit of a disappointment at Kilmore. The track was struggling. And after the run of the first race, Benny Allen was lucky to stay on board. Hot Girl Wanted. You could see clearly her feet went from underneath her on the point of the turn. They tried to do some work, but unfortunately the rest of the meeting couldn't be saved.
Yeah, absolutely. And in these instances, safety obviously comes first, Michael. And people can point the fingers at the jockeys if they like, but they're the ones who are on the back of these horses and risking their lives out there every day to make the races happen. So if they say it's not safe, then that's the final word. So disappointing for Kilmore, but... as I say, safety always comes first, yep. So that's got to be a priority.
And from what we're hearing, they are confident that the track will be repaired quickly and they'll be okay for the next meeting and, of course, the cup meeting, which is oh so important as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was just one of those things. It was a combination of factors led to that happening, and it doesn't look like it's going to be an ongoing issue. And as you say, Kilmore looking ahead to their cup day, which is at the end of our spring season. It's the day after Ballarat Cup on the Sunday there. So, building towards that nicely.
Tuesday was a good day. Michael Poig, an apprentice, having his first ride in a race And he is the son of Michael Clark. We know the champion jockey who won the Melbourne Cup on Atalak. He won the Japan Cup on Better Loosen Up, and so many Group 1s for David, Colin Hayes and Lindsay Park. And Michael Poy, his son, had his first ride on a horse called Nature Strip. It was backed off the map from $3.70, and I think it started around $1.75. He rode it like a good thing. It was out three wide, and it hung on, and it was great scenes because Michael was on course to see him there as well.
Yeah, that's terrific. There's plenty of sons of guns going around in the riding ranks at the moment, isn't there? I suppose pedigree certainly helps with that, as does, I suppose, the genetics that you inherit, getting the right size and shape to be a jockey, but they seem to inherit plenty of talent as well, and I like to see when a jockey makes their debut that the trainer gives them a bit of a leg up, puts them on a good thing, and try to get them that first win out of the way and break the duck. So well done to the team out there on Tuesday. They were good scenes.
Was well done to young Michael on Wednesday. Now, are you trying to claim something here?
Just a little bit. Look, Kazerabad was very bad when I tipped him a few weeks ago at Geelong. He didn't get going at all over the 2400, but clearly I just got my timing wrong because he fronted up again at Bendigo on Wednesday and held off.
Did you back him?
No, I didn't. Absolutely not after what he did at Geelong. But he came out and took a win off Crafty Cruiser, of all horses.
Gee,
so
he keeps going around.
He does, doesn't he? So
like Sherlock Holmes, he's a mystery.
He's a mystery. But look, it wasn't the most impressive win on the card. There was another one on Wednesday at Bendigo that caught Darren's eye, I have to say.
Did you see that?
Catechesis first into the straight, Super Snob getting out, then followed by Spanx, further back to Fast and Rolling, and then came Bonville, Awaken Grinzig, trying to sweep from the back, but Super Snob had the good run, race past Catechesis, then getting out was Lindquist, but it's Super Snob pulling clear of Lindquist, then Fast and Rolling and Awaken Grinzig, and it's too good Super Snob, 1/3.
Yeah, big thank you to Darren Galley for the Did You See That for this week. It's not quite the same without him here, but it was a nice win from Super Snobby.
It runs a lot smoother, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it does, honestly. we'll keep that in mind for next week. But look, Super Snob was unlucky at its last start at Flemington and came out and was too good for those at Bendigo. So might be one to follow through the grades.
Definite horse to follow. I think there's a couple to follow from Thursday at Ballarat too. Mick Price had a first starter called I Have Arrived, which won very impressively. And you saw one from Darren Weir's stable as well that you like.
Yeah, absolutely. The race prior to that was Red Shoes for DK Weir. So it had 3 seconds from its previous four starts. So fair to say it was due, but the punters got onto it and it won like a very good thing.
Speaking of horses to follow, I'll give you one not to follow. And that was the winner of the Hotham. The worst horses we could find were pulled together for the Hotham. It was a great concept. $50,000, which is the most money these horses will ever see in their life. And it was taken out by Woohoo, well named, because they were the scenes on track. Trent Wells, he's a great guy down in Tassie. He brought his nag with a little bit of lack of ability, over to win the race. First win in 20 starts. And I like, after the race, he said, if anyone wants him, they can have him.
He's done his job, hasn't he? But that's the thing. We talk about this when it comes to training. It's not about just getting your horses, right? It's about finding the right race. And that's what Trent Wells and the team down there in Tassie have done. They saw this race on the card. They said, that's the one for us. They brought him over. And they took it out. Mm. So you have to say, mission accomplished, job well done. And he actually said after the race, the interview with the cracker, he said, look, we're going to take the trophy out to Ballarat and do some damage. So I'm not sure if it would have been 3.3 metres tall by the end of the night.
No.
Might have lost a few lengths, but congratulations to Trent and the team. That was it was very well done. It was a good fun day out at Ballarat yesterday.
Yeah, it was. And it got a lot of media coverage, which was really good as well. And Heat 2 of the Melbourne Cup but Carnival Country Series was also run.
Yeah, absolutely. So Matt Laurie got the winner there with Mandalay Bay by a nose from Eclipse. So that's the second entrant in the Melbourne Cup Carnival Country Series for Oaks Day, and the third heat will be Friday night at Cranbourne. So it rolls on over the next few weeks, and they're building towards that Oaks Day final.
Certainly does. Well, that was a huge week that was in country racing. Time now to spin a yarn with the champion trainer, Greg Ewell.
From Victoria's racing heartland, the Country Racing Show. This is the only program dedicated to Victorian country racing. The Country Racing Show. It's got it all. The people at the grassroots of racing. We're spinning a yarn on the Country Racing Show.
It's always great fun spinning a yarn with those who are interesting, and you couldn't get more interesting than our guest this week, Greg Urell. He's a former Olympian, a show jumper, and also one of the best trainers we have in this state. It's great to have a chat to Greg. How are you, Greg?
Well, very good. Thank you, Michael.
And what a weekend it is for you, because it's your hometown cups carnival, we should say, because you've got the Pinka Pinka Plate tonight, which is very close to your heart, and we've got the Cranbourne Cup on Sunday. The place must be buzzing.
Oh, it certainly is here at the moment. It's been a big lead up, and it's very exciting. A lot of work's gone into it, and unfortunately, as we know, last year the weather was against us, but this year I think everything's going to play the way it should.
And Greg, obviously, tonight's race meeting, the Pinka Pinka Plate, a special connection for you. Your terrific mare, Pinka Pinka, taking out the Cox Plate back in 2011. And you've got a runner in the race tonight. So what would a win in that race mean to you?
Oh, look, I think it'll be a very moving moment for me. It's a race that we've, from its first introduction, had always come along to watch it and be a part of it with the owners that own Pinka. And then... unfortunately, just sort of the way the race had been and timing, we'd never ever been able to have a runner in it. But this year, fortunately, things have sort of worked out quite nicely with our mare in it tonight for Leica. So just a run at it, I was absolutely thrilled to bits with. But to win it, it'd be very special. There'd be no doubt about that.
Well, if you look at her form, I think she opened up the early favourite, and there's been good money for Smart As You Think. But, gee, she must be hard to beat.
Well, she's in great shape. She's a very, very honest mare, this mare. And I mean, she's run here before at Cranbourne, the 2000. She'll absolutely do that on her ear. Her last run at Flemington was a great run. And she hasn't missed a beat since. So hopefully, if she can carry that through, she'll be very competitive tonight.
And it's not just the Pinka Pinka Plate that's named after one of your horses, but on Sunday, the feature sprint race is the Apache Cat Classic, obviously named after your champion sprinter. So another race that must be close to your heart.
Yeah, absolutely. It's such an honour to have two races named after two great horses and, to be a part of them and part of the club, gives you a great feel. Hear these races and they've got the Pinka Pinka Plate and the Apache Cat sprint. It's and you reflect back on all those good times and it certainly puts a warm feeling through you and it makes you a little bit envious of what you had and wish you could find a couple more.
Well, let's take you back to that day at Moonee Valley, the greatest training moment of your career when Pinka Pinka took home the Cox Plate.
Pinka Pinka getting into the clear. Jimmy Shoe, the leader, into the straight from Helmet. Then Pinka Pinka rekindled interest. Jimmy Shoe in front. Pinka Pinka coming down the outside. It's Jimmy Shoe tackled by Pinka Pinka. Pinka Pinka's taken the lead. Pinka Pinka in front, and she won it. Pinka Pinka won the Cox Plate from Jimmy Shoe and rekindled interest.
Gee, she was a good mare. It was a magnificent ride on the day. Do you reflect often on that, look at the little Cox Plate trophy and go, I'm a Cox Plate winning trainer?
Yeah, it's a little bit to absorb. At the moment, I was a bit starstruck. Certainly when she crossed the line, you just sort of stood there a little bit zombified. You sort of just couldn't believe it. It's something that you'd put months and months of work into I think we all dream of sort of winning one of those races, but to win an actual Cox Plate, it's a very, very special thing. And, to have her do it the way she did, I thought it was a tremendous effort by her, great ride by Craig, of course. And then, about 6 months later, I lost it. So, it's very sort of mixed emotions, the whole thing. But certainly it was a great day.
A lot of people, when they reflect on that win, they do mention Craig Williams gave her the gun ride, but not to take away from her talent as a mare. I mean, how good do you think she could have been? Where do you think she would have gone, if not for that tragic accident?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I mean, she her lead up to the Cox Plate was probably just went under the radar a little bit. I mean, she had a good prep leading up to it. She ran second in the Epsom just before she did lead into the Cox Plate. She won the Little Lope. She she was a good mare. She was just an honest mare. I mean, you know, no different this mare we got tonight. Just genuine mare that every time you sort of took them to the races, they give you 100%. And, you know, there was certainly more good races in her. I'd have no doubt about that because it's just the way, you know, the sort of horse she was. She was sound and, you know, it's just such a shame. I mean, you reflect on them and you know, to think back, you know, as a mare, I was looking, you know, forward and thinking, gee, when this mare retires and goes to stud, I can't wait to see her progeny and hopefully, you know, race one of them. And, you know, that in itself, you know, it's great to be able to think of the mares that you had and, you know, and it just gives you a little bit more of an insight into the family and what you do and how you train them. And, you know, all of those things were, you know, quite exciting to look forward to. And then when you lose her, it's just, oh, gee, it's just one of the worst moments of my life, I think.
Yeah, it was such a tragedy. And to think, though, that in your career you've had two stars that get races named after them on your home deck, Apache Cat, who just was a cult figure as well. And the beauty about Apache Cat is that everyone still gets to be a part of his life and we get to see him at Living Legends.
Yeah, he's living the dream out there, that fella. Yeah, about that. It's just such a great place for these, you know, these honoured horses to have their retirement. I mean, they get that well looked after and spoiled, and they get to travel around and, you know, and still get about. And, you know, a great life for those horses that give so much to racing and you know, to get this back in return. It's a great way for them to retire. So it's good to see the old boy. It's, you know, he doesn't change. He's certainly enjoying all the good life, but I think there's a few good years left in him yet.
Yeah, well, 8 Group 1 victories, it'd be hard to say he didn't deserve a bit of a holiday after that. He's certainly done his work. But looking ahead to this weekend, Greg, I mean, you've got a few runners tonight, a couple at Pakenham on Saturday and a few more at Cranbourne on Sunday. Can you give us the best for the weekend, you think?
Oh, gee, that's a good one. I mean, look, I really like the mare tonight, Pinker, Falaika in the Pinker. You know, I'm very, very happy with her progress and, you know, all the way through the prep, and this has sort of been the target race. You know, it's one that we'd just love to win, of course. So, you know, she's racing well. T for Chew, she leads into her maiden 2,000-metre race there tonight. Really good. You know, there's certainly both of those are, you know, good chances today for sure.
Well, Greg, we wish you all the best. It would be a fairy tale win, and I think everyone would be pretty chuffed if you could take out the Pinker plate with Falaika. It would be a very memorable win for yourself.
Yeah, it certainly would be. We keep our fingers crossed, and we hope we could win a Cox plate, so hopefully tonight we can win this.
Good on you, Greg. Thanks for spinning a yarn.
Good on you, guys. Thanks very much.
Always celebrating Victoria's Spring Racing Carnival. RSN 927.
I'm on the road again, it's where I want to be.
Here's what's coming up in the country calendar on the road ahead.
Time to have a look at the road ahead, and as we've already discussed, Friday night's Pinker meeting at Cranbourne is an absolute cracker. The first of the two-day carnival over the weekend that just seems to go from strength to strength.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's the split carnival, which I don't mind. You get a day to have a breather, but they kick off on Friday night with the Pinker plate, which is a nice race, actually. It's an $80,000 race for fillies and mares over the 2,000 in honour of, obviously, the Cox Plate champion, Pinker. And they've also got the Heat 3 of the Melbourne Cup Carnival Country Series on the card. So a nice night of racing at Cranbourne on the Friday night to kick things off for the weekend.
And Saturday, they will be going nuts up at Monaghan, the Ladbrokes Monaghan Cup. It is the 100th year of racing up there in Monaghan. A $20,000 race. Oh my gosh. You and Dazza are up there. Dazza's taking the caravan. This could get messy.
Look, I don't know about messy, but it's going to be a big day. It's going to be a big day for the locals, for starters. Their cup's been, you know, gathering steam in recent years. It's getting bigger and bigger every year. And look, their bookings are through the roof this year. I think the anniversary and people are just really excited for it. And we've had some really great coverage about the event. Sammy Doran did a really good piece on racing.com on Des and Marie Ryan, who are just real stalwarts of the club and classic country racing people. And it just looks like it's going to be a fantastic day. So while the racing attraction is at Caulfield tomorrow, certainly the event date in Menangatang is going to be one of a kind.
Good luck to everyone involved, including Des, the committee, Adam McNichol. It's going to be an absolute cracking day. We will we might get one of them on next week to find out what the wash-up was like and how... What's the barn called? What's the...
The Big Shed.
The Big Shed with the new concrete as well.
Well, so we'll have to ask Darren how his evening in the Big Shed goes, if he can remember.
He'll be dancing up a storm. And then, of course, on Sunday, it is the $300,000 Tab Cranbourne Cup, and the club's certainly been rewarded for that prize money. It is a cracking field. A number of these horses may be heading towards the Caulfield Cup, especially Lizzie Lamore, if she can perform well. And this will be a great form race for the rest of the spring.
Yeah, absolutely. So we actually missed out on this race last spring because the day wind. Got blown away, yes. Quite literally by the wind after race one. But the club's been checking the forecast quite frequently this year, and it looks okay for Sunday. So, as you say, $300,000 listed race over the 2,000 metres. So, look, it's a great prep race for some of those spring classics. And it's a great field that they've got assembled. You know, some international competitors, some of the Macedon Lodge crew in there, you know, the likes of Lizzie Lamore for Murray Baker. It'd be hard to go past her, so it's great to have it back and, you know, featuring among those really prominent spring races.
That is a great weekend of racing. On Monday we head to Tat,
back at Tatura after their cup day, so just a Monday race day there. Tuesday at Kyneton, and then looking ahead to Thursday of next week, it is Nextra Moe Cup Day, and the Moe Cup is worth just a lazy $150,000 as well. So
no doubt the Galagotis boys will have a few runners.
You'd have to think that they'll be heavily involved, and there'll be hashtag scenes going on if they were to take the cup and a few other races, so we enjoy their enthusiasm for the game. It's great to see. And the club's got Jared Roughhead and Bob Murphy on course there just for a bit of attraction. So everyone loves those two blokes. So it should be a good crowd through the gates there at Moe. It's a half-day public holiday for the locals. Oh, so okay. That's been missing in the last couple of years. So that's back. So I think that they'll be getting all the way around their cup day. And we did just fail to mention that Saturday at Pakenham, they've got the Mazda Guineas Day as well. So the old complimentary race day. You can catch all the action from Caulfield on the big screen and enjoy the nice expanses of Pakenham at racing.com park.
Oh, beautiful. Well, that is the week ahead, the road ahead. Time now to put you under the pump, Connor, because it's the Big V.
Panning for punting gold this weekend. The Country Racing Show loads up with Victoria's best bet.
All right. Daz has been sent to purgatory because he cannot find a winner, but he's sent something in, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. So Daz is the favourite killer, so I think he's going to land on another one this week. But you've asked us for our best bets. I think Darren's taken that literally. He's just opened best bets and looked for their in the Menangatang Cup, and it happens to be number one, Diamond Duke. Ran at Mertoa last week, led and dropped off late. So I think Darren's hoping that he'll put in a big effort at Menangatang, and he'll definitely get the trip. So we'll just see how he handles the going up there.
Speaking of the Menangatang Cup, say that after six tinnies on the day, I think I saw the field has six out of the eight a female jockey's going around, which is a great effort from the lady riders.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously the ranks of the female jockeys have been increasing in recent years, and it's good to see. And country clubs are doing their best to keep up with that and improving their facilities. I think Cranbourne this weekend have redeveloped their female jockey rooms as well, so that'll be part of their race day this weekend. So it's good to see, and they all need to do it.
All right, Connor, the spotlight is on. Who is your big V best of the weekend?
Well, because we're trying to stick with the Country Cup, so I've sort of restricted in what I can do with my best bet. So I've gone with the Cranbourne Cup on Sunday, race 8, number 2, Folkswood. So Charlie Appleby came out last year and pretty much dominated with a few horses. He had Kiwi come in and win the Geelong
Francis
Cup
of Assisi.
First up. Francis of Assisi dominated the Bendigo Cup first up. Same deal, went off and won a group race after that. Kiwi won the Sandown Classic, I think. You know, they were ready to go when they landed. So I can't go past Folkswood in the Cranbourne Cup. Just based on what he did here last year, I think he knows what it takes to win races here. And they picked the Cranbourne Cup instead of going to the race at Caulfield on Saturday. So they must be confident.
Not a bad selection. All right, so it is Folkswood for Connor, and Dazza in the Menangatang Cup has Diamond Duke. That is the big V best bet of the weekend. Hopefully one of the boys will salute this weekend. That's it for the Country Racing Show. I hope you've enjoyed it. Got through so much this week, and we're going to have even more to discuss next week. And maybe Dazza will be back.
Well, don't count on it. We'll see how we go.
Hope you can join us next week on the Country Racing Show.